luck. We praise him. We seek his help. We seek his aid, and we seek his forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our own souls and from the wickedness of our deeds. Whomsoever Allah guides, there is no one to lead them astray. And whomsoever Allah allows to stray, there is no one to guide them toward the right. I openly bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, who is alone and without partner. And I openly bear witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave, his messenger, and the seal of the Prophet. O Allah, exalt Muhammad and the followers of Muhammad, as you have exalted Ibrahim and the followers of Ibrahim, for surely you are praised and magnified. O Allah, bless Muhammad and the followers of Muhammad, as you have blessed Ibrahim and the followers of Ibrahim, for surely you are praised and magnified. To proceed. The Prophet of Allah, Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam, he led the elders and men, the women, and the children of the Bani Israel to the mouth of a raging sea. With nothing to defend themselves, they turned back to see Fir'aun, furious with his henchmen, their blades of their swords shining in the sunlight, racing toward the Bani Israel. And the Bani Israel, they cried to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, as Allah Azza wa Jal records in the Quran, the translation of the meaning from Surah Ash-Shura, the companions of Musa said, indeed, they shall catch us. But Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam, he knew that Allah Azza wa Jal would not allow the da'wah to be wiped away and annihilated. Allah Azza wa Jal recorded Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam's reply, which radiated with the iman of a prophet and of a messenger. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, nay, indeed my Lord is with me and he will guide me. So immediately Allah Azza wa Jal, he commanded Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, as he tells us in the Quran, then we inspired Musa, strike with your staff the sea. And it parted, each portion like a great towering mountain. And we advanced thereto the others, meaning the pursuers, the army of Fir'aun. And we saved Musa and those with them all together. Then we drowned the others. When Fir'aun slipped out of the sea and ached with the pains of death, he said, when drowning overtook him, I believe that there is no deity except that in whom the Bani Israel believe, and I am of those that submit. Ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhu, he narrates, on the day that Fir'aun slipped out of the sea, and knowing that death was about to overtake him, Jibril, alayhi salatu wasalam, came to him and began kicking dirt into his face and mouth, for fear that Fir'aun would plead for the mercy of Allah, and that he would be granted forgiveness. But Allah Azza wa Jal, he revealed to Fir'aun and those who would wait till the gargling of the souls in their throats to make tawbah. Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Yunus, now, and you had disobeyed him before and were of the corruptors. And from the tafsir of Al-Tabari, he says, istighfar means to seek forgiveness from Allah Azza wa Jal with one's tongue and with one's heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us in Surah Nisa, and whoever does a wrong or wrongs himself, but then seeks forgiveness of Allah, will find Allah forgiving and merciful. And from the authority of Abu Huraira, radiyallahu an, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I testify by He who holds my soul in His hands. Were you not to commit error, Allah Azza wa Jal would have taken you all away. After which he would have brought a people that would make errors and then ask Allah for forgiveness. Then he would forgive them. And this hadith can be found in Sahih Muslim. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, in the next few minutes, inshallah, we shall take a tiny glimpse of the ayat that speak about istighfar, the seriousness of sin in the eyes of the early generations of the Muslims, the real Salaf, the Salaf al-Salih, the righteous predecessors, the conditions of an accepted repentance, and what are some of the etiquettes when making dua. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, istighfar is a characteristic of those whom Allah shall grant success. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, in Surah Mukminun, the evil dwellers of hell shall say, "Our Lord, remove us from it," meaning the hellfire. "And if we were to return to evil, we will indeed be wrongdoers." And he will say, "Remain despised therein and do not speak to me. Indeed, there was a party of my servants who said, 'Our Lord, we have believed, so forgive us and have mercy upon us. And you are the best of the merciful.' But you took them in mockery." And then Allah says, "Indeed, I have rewarded them this day for their patient endurance, that they are the winners, the successful." SubhanAllah. And istighfar, it opens the doors of all goodness in this life as well as in the next life. During the Khalifa of the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhu, a drought befell the Muslims of Medina. And calling for the congregational prayer that is to be made during the times of drought in order to get rain, Umar ascended the minbar and during his khutbah recited no more than those verses that dealt with istighfar. He recited that day the words of Allah speaking of what Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam said to his nation. In Surah Nuh, in translation, Allah Azza wa Jalla has told us, "So I asked," or "So I said rather, ask forgiveness of your Lord. Indeed, He is ever a perpetual forgiver. He will send upon you rain from the sky in showers and give you increase in wealth and children and provide for you gardens and provide for you rivers." And also, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, istighfar is an indication of those most beloved to Allah. Abu Huraira, radiyallahu anhu, narrates, "I heard the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, 'By Allah, I ask Allah for forgiveness and return to Him in a single day more than 70 times.'" And in the story of Prophet Ayyub, alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Azza wa Jalla describes him in Surah Sa'ad, where he says, "We said, and take in your hand a bunch of grass, and strike with it, and do not break your oath. Indeed, we found him patient, an excellent servant. Indeed, he was one who repeatedly turned back to Allah." SubhanAllah. And if we reflect on the story of one of the companions of Allah Azza wa Jal, about the hadith of Ma'iz, what happened was that Ma'iz had committed zina, fornication, and he had come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, "O Messenger of Allah, I have committed zina." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam avoided him, thinking that perhaps Ma'iz would desist and save himself from the punishment of this crime. But Ma'iz kept stepping in the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he kept repeating over and over again, I have committed zina. I have committed zina. So when Mu'adh had said it again and again, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him a series of questions. First of all, he wanted to know, he asked him, are you mad? Are you crazy? And he said, no. So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, are you intoxicated? He even went so far as to ask one of his companions to go to the face of Ma'iz and to smell his breath for the signs of alcohol. And no, there were no signs of alcohol. So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even though he did not want to do this, he asked him, did you enter her? And he said, yes. So Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam slowly began to ask him, what do you want from all of this, Ma'iz? And Ma'iz said, I want you to purify me. Subhanallah. Indeed, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, it is people like Ma'iz, whose repentance to Allah was so blessed that the mercy from it could have extended to all the inhabitants of Medina. This one man's act of repentance for this crime of committing fornication was so strong that Allah Azza wa Jalla could have forgiven all the people of Medina due to this man's repentance. Subhanallah. Hilal ibn Sa'd said, don't look at the meagerness of your sin, but look at who it is that you have disobeyed. So inshallah ta'ala, now we want to discuss, my brothers and sisters in Islam, the conditions of a sincere repentance. Anas radiyallahu anhu narrates, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, all the children of Adam make mistakes. And the best of those that make mistakes are those that repent the most. And one of our blessed imams of this ummah, Umam Nawawi, rahimahullah, rahmatullah alayh, he writes, repentance, tawbah, is required for each sin. If that disobedience only concerns the slave and Allah, and not concerning anyone else, then there are three conditions for the repentance to be accepted. Firstly, this person, he must desist from the sin. Secondly, that he feels sincere regret for what he has done. And the third thing is that he feels determination that he will never, ever, ever commit this sin again. And a fourth condition that he is given, if the sin involves the rights of another human being, is that he frees himself from the right of that human being. For example, if that person had stolen something, he should return or replace that for which he has stolen. Or if he has physically hurt someone, he should give that person the opportunity to do one of Sister Layla's favorite things, and that is to seek kisas, revenge. If I blacken your eye, you have the right to blacken my eye. If you knock out my tooth, I have the right for retribution and to knock out your tooth. If he slanders someone, he should ask that person to pardon him. All these things should be done, unless, of course, by him doing these things, it will cause greater fitna. Meaning that if you have backbitten me, and you have sought repentance from Allah Azza wa Jalla, and now you feel that maybe you should go to me and apologize to me, if you know that that's going to cause greater problems between yourself and myself, then it is better for you not to say anything to me. Just take it to Allah Azza wa Jalla and leave it to Allah. And finally, inshallah, there's a story of Hisham ibn Hassan. After a heavy rainfall, Hisham ibn Hassan was walking behind Al-Ala ibn Ziyad, and through the sloppy, muddy streets of their village, he noticed that Ibn Ziyad was avoiding all of the treacherous puddles until someone accidentally bumped into him, and his sandals, they slipped into the puddle. And forced by the momentum of his slipping, Ibn Ziyad had to carry through to the other end of the puddle. His foot didn't just go in and he could come back out, but because of the momentum of being pushed, he went all the way through the puddle. And after they had reached their destination, Ibn Ziyad turned to Hisham and said, just like we avoided all those puddles on our way to this destination, so should the Muslim avoid the disobedience of Allah throughout his journey up until the time he reaches the hereafter, or until he reaches the grave. And just as you saw the momentum of falling into the puddle, such is the similitude of committing sin. When someone falls into it, it carries him deeper and deeper and deeper. I said what I said, and I ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to forgive me and to forgive you. If I said something that is wrong and incorrect, it is from myself and the shayateen, and all that is correct is from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. بارك الله فيكم وجزاكم الله خير السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.